Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, yeah, I just did a show Tuesday, this is the show that I scheduled as opposed to Tuesdays that I had to reschedule. And hopefully everything will go fine. So let's see, on the show tonight, here it's tonight because it's 7 o'clock, and wherever you are, I might not be. That's okay. Molly Shoup. He was on the air. He had spoken about his being a sculptor, doing bronze, and his career. And now, at the age of 68, he's gone back to his love of what is termed as rockabilly music. Yeah. So he's back into, I guess, a sort of rock and roll. And he'll explain what that's all about. And which is cool. You should do anything anytime. You're never too old to do anything, to start a new career or go back to another one. Then I wanted to continue with talking about that JPD program that was run by the New York Sharks and the NFL at the Giant Stadium. And so we're going to have Taya Weiss, or I think it's Wiss or Weiss, I'm not sure, and I forgot to ask her, because I go, hi, Taya, you know. And she'll be on. She is part of this group called Wives and Girlfriends of Giants, the Giants football team, and she was at the JPD program taping and interviewing. And she's going to share what her experience was of all this. I think she got to talk to kids and coaches, staff, even me. Heck knows. I think I was one of the first ones she was interviewing. Anyway, and we're going to have, and with that player, Leslie Dock, who was on Tuesday's show, is going to come and join in a little later into that. This way we have like a conversation with the two of them. And then finally, we're going green, green products. And one of them is called Eucalan, and it's a laundry detergent. And according to this wonderful laundry detergent, aside from being a green product, it's purported to be a detergent that you don't have to rinse. So it's saving on your rinse cycle as opposed to your motorcycle or menstrual cycle. And so anyway, I'm going to take just a quick break for my, since I'm not allowed to have it, at least I can listen. At least I can listen to the commercial anyway. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Yeah, well, go to www.brownies.com and see what I'm not eating right now because of Nutrisystem, and I've lost 12 pounds in 3 weeks. Okay. No, it's okay. I'll get to that later on. But now, more importantly, we have a Wally on the air right now to tell us about his new career. Hey, Wally.
Hi. First of all, I'll do anything for a brownie. But I don't think I want green sheets and pillowcases. Did I just lose a sponsor for you?
No.
I'm surprised you even let me call again after what happened after the last show where your ratings dropped through the cellar.
No.
You're a brave woman, and besides, my wife is beginning to get suspicious, Merle.
Oh, yeah, we have to stop meeting like this.
Oh, wonderful to talk to you.
Are you calling from home, by the way?
Yes, but I'm shut myself in the closet.
So in other words, Pitt can come on a little later and comment about how she's dealing with this?
She's not speaking. I mean, she hasn't spoken to me in 2 weeks. Sorry, I don't know what I did.
Are you just singing in the house? Are you also writing?
That could have been it. Yes. Or just opening my mouth at the wrong time.
Well, to introduce, I want to play one of the songs, in particular Eagle, only because you do Eagles with the Bronze, and that's your big thing. And before I play, what inspired you to write this song, Eagle?
Yeah. It sure was. No. It started out as a sad song about joining your people that have gone on before you, becoming an eagle and flying up to where they were. But I don't know. I didn't. It bothered me writing something that sad and morbid. So I just turned it into an uplifting, positive statement.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and before I play it, I'll play this first. Why you're listening? You can hum along if you want.
Oh, can I dance?
Yeah, you could dance too.
Thank you.
I'm gonna be an eagle way up in the sky, up above the mountains and through the clouds I'll fly. I'll leave the pain and struggles down below when I am an eagle. I'll leave them where
I'm glad actually that you're writing about eagles as opposed to those terrorist Canada ducks. The
Yeah, we need up and good feeling things, I think.
You heard about the terrorist Canada ducks here, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, the Canada ducks that got into the getting into the engines of the planes.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I've always been suspicious of ducks.
Yeah.
I've said all along they're going to do something. Keep an eye.
Well, the geese, I don't know if that counts. That's kind of different than the ducks.
The geese and the ducks, they're all the same.
Oh, okay.
Oh, of course. Thank you for playing that song.
Just to get into this thing regarding the eagle, is there a particular reason, like, why you wound, why you wound up focusing on this, even in the bronze?
Oh, well, we have some Indian blood in our family, and eagles are sacred because they fly higher than all the other creatures on earth, so they're closest to the Great Spirit. And that's why Thunderbird and just about all tribes use eagle feathers and put them in the war bonnets. Each feather is for an accomplishment. And I just like to watch them, and we have them in the St. Croix Valley where we live between Minnesota and Wisconsin. In pairs, I've watched them fly. It makes you feel good and lifts you up.
Yeah, no shit, boy, I'll tell you. Okay, so now what I want to get into, you're calling your music rockabilly.
Yes, yeah.
So how'd you come up with that?
I didn't come up with it. It came up when rock and roll just began. And so Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry, all the artists that started rock and roll, it evolved out of a combination of country music and blues, and so they did call it rockabilly for a while, and that was the birth of rock and roll. And actually, it really was rock and roll. In fact, there were blues musicians playing it with a boogie beat. So yeah, it's music history. And besides, I was there and watched it being born, and I kind of love it. And I don't think, well, a band called the Stray Cats did some rockabilly recordings, but I think we've lost a little bit of the sounds and the kind of music that it was at one time, because that was all happy music. There were no protests against the police or anything. It was just about taking your shoes off and dancing on the high school gym floor. Those were wonderful times, the 50s and the 60s.
The good old days.
Them there good old days.
Yeah. And so at that time, was it back in the 50s when you first started writing music?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I started writing songs. I taught myself to play the guitar when I was 13. Saved up money from a paper route and bought my first guitar and got a book. And a few months later, I had a five-piece band, saxophone and the whole thing, and then started playing, small dances and in church basements that's kind of, I think a lot of us started out in garages or, down at the Legion Hall and then it just kind of grew into a big business.
So did you kind of like cease it once you started to get into bronze?
I was with a record distributor that, just about everybody where I live had records play around the country, and in fact, I understand there's a couple of the songs still played by rockabilly stations in New York. But I went through the the process of writing and recording and what have you, and they got played around the country, and I never saw anything, you know, for my efforts and my investment. And I did an album, and my friend that owned the studio, who was the producer, had to go bankrupt, and the government came in and took all his stuff, including my stuff. So by then, you know, I just had it with doing the music and started doing the sculpture as a something to relax by, just something different. And that got out of hand, as you know.
Well, didn't really get out. I mean, it got in hand. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, I've been so fortunate that whatever I seem to dream up, people like it. So, and that's very, very fortunate, you know, all the way around.
Well, let's, I'm going to play another one. What's behind the song Bad Girls?
Well, one of my sons came to work for me, and he started dating a girl that worked for me. And I said, hey, that little gal has the worst reputation in town. And why are you going out with her? He says, that's exactly why I'm going out with her, Dad. True story. And I never forgot that. And besides, you know, bad girls really, really aren't bad. They're the girls that'll hold hands with you or let you kiss them.
Yeah.
Sit next to them. Those are the bad girls. The other girls sit with their hands folded in their lap with their white gloves on and look straight ahead.
Okay. Well, let's hear this one.
All right, babe.
So have you gotten any gigs lately?
Well, I'm not interested in performing anymore.
Oh.
I just want to write and share the songs and produce them, and they're online. I know for sure they're on Amazon.com.
You can get it. What do they call it? Like a digital. You can upload it,
download or whatever.
Upload or whatever you load.
Well, I don't have to worry about that distributor that didn't give me any money, because the money goes to the artist now.
Oh,
the full amount goes to the artist, which is great. And I think it's a good sounding board for people. There are a lot of really, really good artists out here, but I don't think the public gets to hear them or see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how many more do you plan to write? You just keep going on? I mean, how quick do you write a song?
You know, some come really quickly. They usually come when I'm driving in my car, and then I have to pull off the road and find a bag or something to start writing it on, and I go down the road, and wow, I get another line or two, and there's one on the album that I wrote for my daughter when she was 3 years old. My daughter has three daughters of her own now. But I just kept it, and I only sang it for her. And the multiple digital recording now is so much more fun than recording in the 50s and 60s, which back then you only had a one-track tape recorder, so you had to have the whole band there. And if somebody made a mistake, everybody had to play it all over again and record it. That was difficult, but gosh, with the technology, there are people that have stereos in their living room that are better quality than my first recording, which was on the only tape recorder in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it was a four-track tape recorder. We eventually brought it to Minneapolis and pressed it. But
I got one of those at home, reel to reel.
Yeah.
I got one in the house.
Golly. Well, Merle, now you can make records.
Yeah.
And you can offer them to the public. You can have recordings of the show and send 1995 it'll come someday if I get around to mailing it. whole new avenue.
That's great. Now, so have people like turned to you and said, "Hey, Wally, write me a song."
I've done a few like that. There's a song on the album called Big Mama, and I wrote that years ago for a lady who entertained as Dorothy Everybody's mother. And she was very large, and she sang like Ethel Merman, you know, the torch singers. She was wonderful. Everybody loved her. And she wanted to record a song. And so Big Mama came out of it, and Dorothy recorded it. And I think she sold a few of the records, but I had never done it. And so I just turned around and sang it like Big Mama was coming home to me instead of the way she did it, which is Big Mama's coming in the reverse. So, and then I have written polkas.
Well, that could be
polkas.
A whole new, whole different connotation of saying Big Mama's coming versus
yes,
Big Mama.
Yes, yes, it's a different kind of radio show. Did I hear them just shut us off?
It's okay. As long as you don't say shit or fuck, then it's okay.
All right, then that leaves all sorts of things to explore. We better not get dirty. I don't.
No, I never say.
We get
carried
away.
I never say a word.
It isn't easy, you know, being R-rated. No, PG. PG rated.
Yeah, PG, right.
Yeah, thank God you're not.
Yeah. Well, because I'm going to have a call, another caller calling in pretty soon. I want to thank you for coming on, because I'm going to leave everybody by putting on the song Holly. That's the one, the third
oh.
one that I uploaded here.
Well, you are one fine, wonderful woman, and Kit and I both love you.
Yeah, maybe I'll come out to visit.
Well, I wish you would. We had a good time when you were here last time, because we got all sorts of
yeah.
good meals while you were reviewing restaurants. So
yeah.
come on, Merle, come on.
I'll come out there to Minnesota, right?
All right. Wait till it warms up.
Oh, I will. Yes,
okay,
I definitely will.
All right, baby.
Okay, and, you know, give my regards to Kit. Tell her I feel for her. And let her keep on doing her little artwork, too.
She's painting cats now. Little
yeah.
kitties. So, yeah.
Oh.
Keep her busy so I can continue doing my my artsy thing. You know, we're all starving artists.
Yeah. I'll send you some Nutrisystem.
Oh, thank you. Probably Centrum Silver, too, if you have any laying around.
Oh, okay.
Okay, baby.
Take care, Wally.
Okay, I'm going to listen to the song and then I'm hanging
okay,
up.
Sure.
Okay, bye, babe.
Bye.
My Holly song.
All right. Well, we got my next guest coming on now. So.
All right.
All right. So
well,
have a good evening.
You too. Have fun.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep. I guess right now we must have Taya.
You certainly do. How are you, Merle?
Just fine.
Great. Can you hear me okay? I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, yeah. I hear you fine. Can you hear me
okay,
now?
Fantastic.
Can you hear me now?
Si, senorita.
So what I want to talk, tell me, I want to hear your experience of the JPD program having, you know, gone around, you know, and taped, and first, yeah, explain, yeah, first explaining what your position is first, what, you know, what this whole thing is about, the wives and girlfriends of the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I hope, let me know if I digress a little too much, but, you know, I actually came across the Sharks and interest in the JPD program like a year and a half ago. And the funny thing is I was looking into just, you know, trying to find an organization that I felt compelled to spend time and money supporting. And I love football. I absolutely love the game of the football. And but I also am a firm believer in the empowerment of women, especially I believe you have to start at a young age group to instill the confidence and empowerment of females out there. And so I started Googling and came across the Sharks and more specifically the JPD program. And I thought, wow, this is such a cool program that not only combines, you know, the strategy and the discipline of, you know, the pigskin, but also, you know, coinciding with the support and empowerment of young women. And so I looked into it, and unfortunately at the time, you know, they run the JPD in February every year. I believe this was the third annual program. Unfortunately, at that time, a year and a half ago, wasn't good for me. And so a year later, in this past fall in 2008, I came across, you know, I was at the Giants game. My boyfriend, Adam Coates, plays for the Giants. And I literally was around the practice bubble and ran into a couple of the Sharks players. And believe it or not, like 3 days prior to that, this was like mid-October, 3 days prior to that, I had just revisited the Sharks website because I thought, oh, shoot, you know, last year it didn't work out, but it really stuck with me all year. Like, oh, I got to get in touch with them. I think what they're doing, I really believe in what they're doing. I think it's interesting, definitely very unique to what's out in the market. And I think it was meant to be because I ran into a couple of the players. They introduced me to Dana, who is the CFO, and she immediately called Andra, who's the owner and kind of the orchestrator of everything, you know, has to do with the Sharks and the Fins Foundation and the JPD program. So I consider myself very blessed that I ran into them and have been introduced to them and am quickly forming a newfound friendship. And so as I got to know Dana and Andra a little bit more and more about the Sharks organization, I went out, checked out a couple of the tryouts. We always tailgate before the Giants game and afterwards, so we had a couple of the players come out and hang with some of the other Giants players. And, you know, a lot of guys like Gray Rugemer, who plays for the Giants, Adam, my boyfriend, Chris Mee, and a few other guys, all got to meet some of the players and thought it was really cool. And definitely were surprised to find out that, you know, there's over 80 teams in the IWFL. And we all were just really surprised because to have that kind of presence, unfortunately, the word's not out about all of these wonderful, fantastic female athletes out there playing what's considered a male sport. And so I definitely was not going to miss this year's JPD program that took place, what, 2 weekends ago, I think it was, the weekend of February 7th.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I was talking to Andra, I just realized, you know, I was asking her what support they needed, you know, what could we do, where could my skill set help support them and getting awareness and building awareness out in the community about this great program because, you know, they had a great turnout, over 100 girls this year, but I believe, and I'm sure Andra and Dana would second this, that with the right awareness, you know, this could really explode and, you know, we'd love to get the numbers up. And I think it's really important because we have to show sponsors like the NFL and, you know, of course the Giants organization is extremely generous in donating the bubble for the use, you know, of the camp with the girls. And so I know everybody's extremely appreciative of that gesture. So, we sat down, you know, just chit-chatted about it and realized I love multimedia type of engagements and something that I do on the side. And so I brought a coworker of mine from Boston to come down and record, you know, the girls playing and doing all the drills. And then also, did I lose you, Merle?
Just for about 1 second.
Oh, good. No problem. I know I talk a mile a minute, so probably didn't miss too much, though. But I was just saying I brought a coworker of mine down to record the girls in action, and it was definitely entertaining and fascinating, and we were really impressed with the skill set of these girls. And we were fortunate enough to be able to speak with, you know, Andra and some of the other Sharks players, and more importantly, some of the parents that supported their girls, not only in the camp, but also, more interestingly, a few of the girls actually play. And some of them were good enough to play at the varsity level on the boys' teams. And so it was very intriguing and fascinating to speak with them. And I think walking away from speaking with the parents, you realize it definitely has to be. Oops, am I still here?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay, sorry, no problem. What I found really interesting was that the parents at first were not too keen on their girls naturally playing a full contact sport like football, but what they realized is once the, especially the mothers, and understandably, once they had a chance to come out, see the tryouts, see the girls play, and actually see the girls handle themselves just fine on the field with boys, you know, their age, and in fact, you know, some of those girls were not only holding their own, they were kicking the boys' butts, if you will, you know, doing just fine and playing extremely well. The parents accepted it and realized, you know, okay, the girls are not as much physical danger as they kind of assumed, and really were excited to see their girls out there playing well and playing the game. So also, you were asking about the WAG. So there's a few of us girls that are either married to or dating or in relationships currently with some of the Giants players. And so I know that one of the other things that Andra had mentioned they needed help with were with some funding, of course. And I think especially in the economic climate that we're in right now, you know, all charitable organizations and foundations are probably struggling to get some of the funding that's, you know, crucial in supporting their events. And so we were able to gather you know, just it wasn't a huge amount of money, but it was enough to support the funding for the buses, which, you know, picked the girls up in Brooklyn and Queens and Manhattan and bused them out to Giant Stadium to the practice field bubble, you know, both on Saturday and Sunday. So we were thrilled to do that. We'd love to do more in the upcoming year and find ways to not only support the JPD, but also find ways to help support, you know, the Sharks, you know, organization, football team, as well as the Finns Foundation.
That, yeah, that's and we absolutely thank you. Absolutely thank you for doing this. Funding is a problem right now all over. I'm gonna be on the phone getting sponsors in the next week.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think any of us feel like we've hit the bottom yet, huh? You know, I think that, you know, we're all trying to figure out where that bottom is, and it just keeps, you know, continually is pushed out further and further.
Yeah. So what I want to get into the discussion about is now, DVD, I guess, right?
Yeah, we'll probably make it into more of a documentary style DVD sort of thing. We're also going to take smaller clips and post them on the Sharks website. I think everybody, I don't know if your viewers are aware that USA Football, who is their main mission is to bring standardization to, you know, the you know, flag football teams and the high school level football teams in terms of refereeing and coaching and that sort of thing. They've partnered up with the Sharks team as well and the IWFL. And so I know they were interested in having a clip. I think what was really cool, and I know Merle, you were so kind enough to introduce me to the gentleman, but there was a coach from one of the local high schools, a male coach, that after, I love this, after 8 years of his high school girls begging him to put together a female flag football team, he finally did it. He was, it was Coach Gordon, such a fantastic human being, and I know he wanted a clip of it. So hopefully we'll get some press and coverage around some of the footage that we put together.
Now, did you got to interview him?
Yes, I did, and he was such an interesting person, and I was teasing him. I pulled him aside after seeing, and I think actually you pointed it out, but I couldn't help but overhear and eavesdrop just a little bit. But, you know, Andra, who's been in the – she's put the Sharks team together, you know, for the past 10 years, loves football, and I think she – I believe she was the quarterback of the team when she first began 10 years ago. She – I couldn't help but overhear her giving him some coaching tips for himself and with the girls, and I thought, how cool is that? You know, you're – you know, here's this professional female football player providing advice and guidance to a male coach of a girls flag football team. And it was neat. They were swapping stories and swapping some of the plays that they run and just overall feedback of what they were viewing with all the girls that were participating that day and how well some of them were performing.
Yeah, so I guess he learned something from us, huh?
Yeah, it was nice. And I think the biggest key, too, I want to make sure everybody's aware, like, you know, by no means are, you know, anybody involved with this type of event or, you know, with the females, with the IWFL, by no means is anybody thinking that the men's teams aren't good or that we don't support them. You know, we look at them as our peers and admire them in a lot of ways and what they're able to do with the game of football. We just want to play it too. You know, we just want to get in on the fun.
Oh, yeah, of course.
See what we can, what damage we can do out there on the gridiron.
Yeah, that's what I say. So, well, I mean, you have that, what I got is that we had a range from like, and Leslie is going to be coming on in a little while to talk about this.
Good.
Yeah, because she's going to join us in this conversation. And so we're talking about from a young girl who's never actually been on a team sport at all to the Twins.
Yes. The Twins are really interesting, and I just loved their dad. He was adorable and could not be more supportive of his girls and just so proud and beaming. And, you know, he shared with me, I thought this was really cool actually. And in fact, I'm in LA right now. Andrew's out here as well. And we're working on a couple things to get the word out about the IWFL and the Sharks and GPD. But I was sharing with Andrew how cool I thought it was that, you know, he mentioned the girls had hit some hurdles with, you know, understandably these are teenage boys, you know, probably comments were being thrown out on the field and things like that. And I think the girls were struggling a little bit and maybe even considering not playing. And their dad just said, look, I know how much you love the sport and you can't let this get you down. And this is life. You know, we all are going to have these hurdles that we have to overcome. And what was neat is, you know, their father, his name escapes me, but their father reached out to Andra and just kind of gave a synopsis of what the girls were going through. So Andra reached out to the Sharks players, and each of them, or quite a few of them, emailed the girls directly and individually and just said, hey, you know, keep your head up. Don't let these boys discourage you. You know what you want to accomplish. And, you know, these are the girls, these twins are playing varsity right now. And what was really cool to hear was, you know, the boys on the team, they have earned the respect of the boys on their team. They play well. They play hard. I guess one of the girls got hit pretty hard and just shook it off and got up and ready to play the next play and really show them that they were tough enough to handle it. And I think that's what this whole event is about. It's about the game and the love of football and the determination to do well. But more importantly, it's about teaching these girls that just because it's not the opportunity really isn't ubiquitous out there yet, go for it anyways. Don't be discouraged. Get out there, do what you want to do, follow your passion, follow your heart, and you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Leslie, by the way, Leslie's joining us right now. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
I'm
I'm doing laundry, and I looked down, and I went, oh, I got a COVID right now. So I'm standing outside a laundromat on 104th near Broadway in Manhattan.
It sounds quiet. I'm impressed. I would think it would be noisier.
Oh, you just missed it. There were two people having a fight. I tried to get away from them. But I thought, you know, that might bring some nice New York ambiance to this conversation.
Yeah. We're calling coast to coast, Merle. Coast to coast, we're calling in for this.
Are you in Cali?
Yeah, I'm back in Cali. I actually just saw Andrea yesterday.
Oh, that's right. She's there doing some talk with some studios and whatnot.
Yeah, all good stuff.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah. So, did you get to actually interview the twins at any time, by the way, or just the dad?
Yeah, actually, we had the pleasure of speaking with them, and you know, they were just really unique individuals with such spirit and heart, and you know, they just kind of went over some of the things. You know, what was interesting was you could tell that, which I can understand where their mother was coming from. That was a huge concern with their physical, you know, just their physical safety out on the field and playing with these boys. Their mom was very concerned at first, and it was cute. They said it was cute to hear them describe how their mom's concern went from, you know, one end of the spectrum where she just thought, absolutely not, no way, are my girls going to be out there with these boys that are, you know, large or whatnot. And these girls could hold their own, don't get me wrong. They were in incredible shape. It was neat to hear their experience from their mother going from that perspective all the way over to, you know, not missing any game, taking their younger daughter out, and the younger daughter, the youngest of the three, is a little, you know, like 7 years old and loves cheerleading, and she wears her little uniform and goes out and cheers for, you know, two older twin sisters, and the family's in nothing but full support. The dad helps them train and condition for the season, and they were quite the athletes.
Were they able to give you any feedback on what they got out of the being there? I mean, considering their experiences, you know, past anybody else, I guess, that was at the JPD program, did they comment on, you know, what they got out of being there?
Yeah, absolutely. And what was interesting was their comments were similar to some of the other girls that we spoke to. What they really enjoyed.
I said, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the feedback from people.
Yeah, no, and Leslie, you'll have to pipe in here too so I don't take over here. But the girls loved being with other girls that share the same passion and love for the game. You know, all these girls that are playing on the men or the boys football teams, you know, they share that love and interest with the guys, and they like that. But they really got excited to see all of these, you know, over 100 girls share in that same joy of running down the field and blocking and, you know, all of that, the win of the feeling of a touchdown. And they really liked being with their female peers. And I think what was also really cute was these girls just want to show that they can hold their own too. Like, you know, yeah, we're girls, but we can do this too. And just because we're girls doesn't mean that we can't go out there and play. And more we heard throughout the day, they really wanted to start recruiting some of their friends, and, you know, the way they're going back to their high schools and their junior high schools and talking to other girls about how much fun they, you know, and how much they enjoy it. But I really commend each and every one of these participants, because it takes a lot, especially at the high school and junior high level, where, you know, those are tough times. Teenage years, we all know, are not easy. You know, you're all being scrutinized by your peers, and it really takes, I think, brave young girls that have the confidence to step outside the box and be interested in something that is not typically considered a woman, you know, a female sport.
Yeah.
Definitely. I would agree with that. I think that a lot of the girls I heard at the end of the clinic were saying that they were going to go to school the next day and tell their friends, and they were even on their cell phones calling their friends right after the event. And that's the best news of all, because we, you know, as director of community outreach, I can't reach everyone, you know, individually in like a very special way. But if they're talking to their friends, that's the way that they get excited about it. So I was very glad to hear about that. I think just generally, like, a lot of girls don't really think of it as an opportunity for them, and they don't think that they would have fun, and or that they just think of it as a violent sport.
But I think when it comes down to flag football, and then when they're doing it, like you guys were saying, when they're with other girls, I think they feel this immense sense of comfort and the camaraderie, and also, you know, the competition, which is what makes it, you know, a little more exciting when you're in the game. I mean, I could not believe the girls on my team, how they just seemed so laissez-faire during the training, during all the drills. When we got into game time, it was like, we want to win. Their voices dropped. They were like, we're freaking winning this thing. And they just became animals. And it was so neat to see. I've been talking to them about how they're going to find that in themselves. And they're going to, you know, kind of locate a different spot in themselves. And I'm kind of weird and zany with them. And they're like, okay, we're ready. But then when they're on the field, it comes out. And I'm like, uh-huh, did I tell you? So, you know, and seeing that really lights me up. And I think that's why they're going to go tell other people, you know, there's this, you know, you can really, we have this part of ourselves that we can contact by playing this sport. And, you know, now I get it. Now I understand.
Yeah, it was, to me, it was awesome. I mean, to me, it was, from watching it, to see from the point of exercising to actually playing a game of flag football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know that I could, well, I don't know, maybe I could have done it when I was a kid, definitely. But, so that to me was really great, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to get back on Sunday. I would have liked to have seen, you know, how it even progressed from that point after Saturday.
Yeah, there definitely were a few better games on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall they are still, some of the girls were wondering about the rules and the flow of the game. And like I had said to you before, Merle, I had to remind myself that I had just sort of laid the groundwork. I couldn't expect them to run a very fluid game of football or to remember, you know, all of the 300 things that I just programmed them with all at one moment. You know, what is very easy for me, I'm thinking, well, how come you don't know, you know, that you do this and that with your feet, and, you know, this is how you throw, and this is where you should line up. And they were looking to me a lot. And then finally, after a while, they were just, you know, there is something that takes over. And if they gave themselves over to that and just got into the flow of the game, they would be they'd be fine. I think that's one of the real reasons why I am trying to get involved and trying to get more girls involved, is that there's a confidence issue that is immediately solved when you give yourself over to competing in any sport. If you give yourself over to it and just sort of do your best and see what happens, you're in the moment. And that's something for the teenage and high school age group that I think is really important, and what can help them build self-confidence and help them make better decisions for themselves, do things, you know, by trying other new things. I mean, because let's face it, if they try football, they're definitely going to try something else.
Yeah.
You know, I did an Outward Bound course when I was 17 for 22 days in northern Minnesota, and I remember when I came back from that, I'd lost 25 pounds in 22 days and traveled over 500 miles and, you know, probably ingested every bug known to the state of Minnesota. And I got back and I thought, if I can do that, you know, I can go through college. I can, you know, make it through anything, any sort of job, boring job, anything. And I still look back on that experience and think, well, I'm not, you know, I don't have a second degree sunburn with a canoe over my head and I'm standing in mud up to my knees. You know, I can deal with this right now. And I hope some of those girls think of that when they, you're like, wow, I went and I faced down, you know, 90 other girls. I tried this new thing that I've never tried before, and I did all right at it, and I had fun. So this is what happens when I step through fear, and because that can be a habit in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leslie, I'm really curious. We were speaking about Coach Gordon. He was one of the coaches that had put together a flag football team for one of the local high schools.
Mm-hmm.
After literally 8 years of girls begging him to put it together. I thought that was so neat. But I asked him, because he had coached boys before, and I was curious what the difference was or if you noticed a difference. And I'm curious if you saw this over the weekend at the JPD program. He mentioned that with his experience, with the coaching the boys, if he says, okay, boys, go do this, they just go do it. No questions asked, they go do it. And he said with the females, he noticed they're willing to do it. They're totally positive. They accept, you know, his authority as a coach, but they want to be explained why. Like, if okay, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, but okay, no problem, break it down for me, why? And I thought that was really interesting. Did you find the same with your experience with the girls that weekend?
Well, if you just come out to one New York Sharks practice, you'll see that happening.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
yeah, no, that's, it's definitely, and our coaches now, they look at their, why? What do you mean, why? Because I said so is why. This is not a democracy. I've heard that so many times. You know, that's, football has sort of a militaristic tradition behind it. And, again, women, not a lot of women are used to that sort of tradition. They aren't raised that way. Boys are. Not all boys, but some boys. So we always ask why. And it's interesting to see, I don't know, the guys that coach our team, they say that we actually are easier to coach because once we ask why, we really internalize it. And then don't have to be taught several times. That's what they've told us.
Yeah.
I have to throw in, you know, I just had a flashback. I had a job years ago, and I remember it was like an on-the-job training kind of thing. So they were just saying, just do what that person does, and this person's trying to teach me, and whatever. And I kept going, why? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I would got into an argument, especially this one guy who would just say, don't ask any questions. Just do what I tell you to do. And I'm saying, but why am I doing this? I don't understand. I need to know why.
Right.
Okay.
Well, then we don't have to ask again, to your point, Leslie. That's what I was saying. When you told me that, that was exactly what I was thinking. Like, oh, I mean, we ask, right, so that we learn, and then we don't even have to ask anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you get more out of what you're expecting, take it to the next level sort of thing. But, hey, Merle, I'm so sorry. I know I'm leaving you in good hands with Leslie, but I do have to run, and I'm sorry. But I hope that my presence was what you were looking for, I'll be sure to forward the video and the clips if you're interested once they're completed.
Oh, of course.
And Leslie, enjoy your laundry. Make sure you use that fabric softener.
Yeah, I hope nobody's stolen my stuff in there. This is
yeah. The dryer always eats my socks. Watch out.
I'm careful. I scan the whole thing before I leave.
Bye, ladies. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay. Bye, Taya.
Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just about finished writing up the article. So you're in it, Leslie. Don't worry.
All right. I made the article. Woo!
Yeah. It's going to go on the website of USA Football.
Excellent.
Yeah. So thanks for calling us, you know, calling back again.
Sure. You know, I do have a little bit of news.
Yeah.
I got an email from Andrea yesterday, and she said that actually Coach Gordon from the Lady Mustangs in Brooklyn, the gals have been clamoring to get some games going with, to maybe start a little league with the DeWitt Clinton High School gals and the Lehman gals. So, so they really want to get, maybe a spring league going, you know, just see if they can field enough girls to play maybe 8-on-8. So there are things happening, and Andrew and I have been talking about, you know, possibly starting a fall league after our season is over. So that's good news. That's really, really good news.
Yeah,
you know, that the gals want it to happen. You know, they're the people that they're going to show up and do the work. So for us, it's really just kind of doing the administrative things that can put it all together.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
so I'm excited about that.
Thanks for sharing that. That's I love good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I have my next call. I see her up on my switchboard waiting.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to have you leave us.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that you won't be invited back. You know, the more stuff that happens, the more we want to share with everybody, especially if it has anything to do with the New York Sharks.
Absolutely. We'll be in touch.
Okay. All right. Take care, Leslie. Have a great evening.
All right. You too, Merle.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm not going to go into a commercial. I'm going to go right to our caller. What we're going to be talking about is it pronounced Euclan? Is that the name of the detergent?
Yep, that's right, Mo.
Okay.
Euclan.
So introduce yourselves to my audience.
Hi, Merle. It's Jennifer Edgar, and I'm with Euclan.
And
so Euclan is it's a no-rinse delicate wash. So you use it to wash anything that you would normally hand wash or send to the dry cleaner. You can wash it yourself at home with Euclan.
Okay. How does this, like, well, I think we were talking about that you don't have to rinse.
Mm-hmm.
What's all about?
Well, it's better for the environment that way. It's better for your clothes as well. And because we don't have any harsh chemicals, there's no phosphate, there's no bleach, you don't need to do all the rinsing that you would typically do with normal delicate washes. What you're doing is trying to rinse the product out of the garment afterwards. So with Euclan, because it's so mild, you can just use one wash water, whether you're washing in the sink or in the washing machine, and that way you're saving water, you're saving energy, and you're saving wear and tear on the garment that you're washing, so it will last longer.
Okay. Now, by the way, this smells great.
Oh, good. Which one do you like? There's lavender, grapefruit, eucalyptus, and unscented. Which one's your favorite?
I was using the grapefruit.
That's my favorite. That's one of our newest scents. And it just is so fresh and clean smelling.
Yeah.
And the scents that we have, we've chosen beneficial essential oils. We don't use synthetic fragrances. And the grapefruit actually is a natural antiseptic. So it's great for things that are pressed up tight against your body, like workout wear or lingerie. And the eucalyptus and the lavender are both natural moth and flea inhibitors. So great for natural fibers like woolens and cashmere, silk, anything that's natural that you really want to take care of. And also the product has just a touch of lanolin in it, which is a natural conditioner and an antistatic.
Now,
so there's lots of benefits.
I'm going to ask what I think is the obvious question. You don't have to rinse. What about the water? I mean, the water is dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just for that reason, wouldn't you want to rinse?
Well, what happens if you were to wash something in the sink? Let's say you washed a pair of socks, just so you can see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you put water in the sink, and you put a teaspoon of Euclan in, and then you put your socks in, and you squeeze it through with your hands and let it soak for a few minutes, and then you squeeze it again and lift your socks out. What's happened is the dirt has been released from the fiber and is now sitting in your basin of water. So
okay.
the dirt isn't in the garment anymore, it's in the water. And then you let the water out, the dirt goes down the drain with the water.
So now, in other words, are you saying that you can't wash more than one garment per whatever water?
No. In fact, I typically do two or three items. It really depends on what you're washing. But if I was washing lingerie, I certainly could do two or three bras or a negligee or silk pajamas all at the same time. You have to make sure that you're washing something that's color fast.
Right.
And if I'm washing two or three different things, I would probably start with the lightest color garment first and work my way up to the darkest color. But I wouldn't wash more than two or three things. And if I was washing something that's really dirty, like an old blanket or sheepskin or something like that, yes, you're only going to wash one thing in that water because it's going to get pretty grimy.
So it's not.
And then you just,
it's not the kind of. I mean, like you're not going to take like. Let me just see if I have this. You're not going to like just take your load of laundry and throw it in and put in the Euclan and let it wash and then say, oh, I'm about to get to the rinse cycle. I don't need it.
You can do that if you like, and I have a front loader at home, and it's really nice. I just love it. And what I do is I put Euclan in the fabric softener compartment
in my drawer, my front loader,
uh-huh.
and then I turn my machine to rinse and spin. That way it's only using one water. It's putting in what it thinks is a fabric softener, but that's really acting as the cleanser. And then it agitates very gently on a front loader, and then it spins all the excess water out. It's a really great and easy way to do it. But if you forget and you use Eucalan, putting it in your detergent drawer, and you don't think about it and you walk away, it's okay. It doesn't hurt it. It doesn't hurt your clothes if you rinse it out. Not at all. It's just the benefit is that you can save water, you can save energy, and you can save time and wear and tear on the garment. So we are trying to be environmentally friendly in that respect. You just don't need that excess water, that excess rinsing. It's just not necessary. If you have something that's really dirty, absolutely. And an example of that would be a horse blanket, you know, something in your tack barn that you just need to get it really good and clean. You might need to do it two or three times if it's never been washed. But for most of us,
right.
with our beautiful cashmere sweaters or our pantyhose or our good socks, you know, a quick little rinsing in the sink is all it takes, and it's so, so easy.
Oh, great. I tested it out just as curiosity as if I was using my regular laundry detergent and put it in and let it do everything, let it rinse and do all that, just to see what it would, how the clothes would come out, how it would smell, et cetera, et cetera. The clothes smelled wonderful, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And it came clean. But that was my first test. I haven't done the test of just like washing some, you know, things in like in the sink or something,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that sort. So, now where can you? Where does it derive from the laundry detergent versus our regular laundry detergent?
Well, first of all, it's got very mild cleansers in it, and our website lists what the ingredients are. I'm not sitting at the computer right now, so I couldn't tell you, but lanolin is one of the components, water, obviously, and some very mild cleansers. It's a low-sudsing product, so it's safe for your HE washing machines. And then we have the essential oils in there. So there's not a lot of ingredients. It's very simple, very basic. And I think when people try it, they're very happy with it. And we're just doing a trade show right now in Vegas, the Eco Show at Magic, and you know there's a lot of interest in the green movement, obviously, right now. But we're 20 years old. We've been doing this for 20 years, telling people you just don't need to use the amount of water you're using to wash your special items. I'm not talking about washing your bath towels and your bed sheets. And yes, you can use it for that. I'm talking about those fine items that you really want to last. That beautiful sweater that you knit. Something with sequins or bead trimming or
right.
Little rhinestones on it, or your fancy, fancy jeans that are dark and you don't want the color to fade.
Right.
That Eucalan is perfect for.
Oh,
and baby items as well. But you can, on our website, there's a lot of stores listed. We have all types of different stores that sell it. Typically, we're in boutique stores. We aren't in any major chains, and baby shops, health food stores, high-end ladies' wear stores, lingerie shops. It runs the gamut. There's quite a range of retailers that it's available through.
So, and it's Eucalan, which is EUCALAN.com. Is that what people should
yep.
go to?
Yep, that's right. And the name came from, it's two words put together, Euca for eucalyptus and lan for lanolin.
Ah,
so,
look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It actually does mean something. And the eucalyptus was our original scent. And it's just, 20 years we've been working at it. And people are now starting to pay attention to it because of the green movement. So it's starting to catch on.
So what you're attending in Las Vegas, is that's there's a green show going on there too?
Yeah, it's the
green product
called
yeah.
Magic. it's magic. It's the largest apparel and accessories show in North America. It happens here twice a year. So we're in the eco section. It's called E-Collection.
Okay.
And it's really great. And then next week we're doing the Green Product Expo.
Yeah,
the Green Product Expo at the Marriott. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Looks like a lot of great items that are going to be there, some really nice stuff.
Well, I think it's a good opportunity to learn about what's out there and broaden your horizons and see that there's interesting, innovative products out there that you maybe wouldn't see in those big stores. You have to go to boutique or smaller stores to discover them.
Yeah. So, yes, I'll see you next week, huh?
Yeah.
Stop
by.
Yeah. Well, okay. I appreciate your calling in. I'll be following up.
Okay.
Writing about the product and the products that I come across, and this is great. I mean, it's nice to know that there are not new products, the products that we don't know about that can benefit ourselves and not just like the green part about it, but saving on the energy and the water. So,
absolutely. And, if you can have less packaging, and we do that, our product is highly concentrated. So we're all about conserving energy and whatever else it takes. So,
yeah,
I appreciate you having me call in, Merle. It was great speaking with you.
All right. So, I'll see you next week then. Okay.
Thank you so much, Merle. Have a great night.
Yes, you too. Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so that's UCLAN, dot www.ucalan.com. Yeah, it's I'll be testing out some more on it, I'm gonna go to let's go to a break before because I'll probably end a bit early, but I need to do. No, I'm not going to take a break. I got to tell you what's on my mind. This is absurdities of things. Okay, I living in New York City, it got to be a point. I don't know whether this is done outside the city, the country, or whatever. When they have all kinds of flyers, they have things that they drop off at your house. And the problem with this is, number one, maybe you don't want it. Maybe you don't want the flyers. Maybe you don't care about what's on sale at the grocery store because you can go online, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to compound it, once these things are dropped off, then now you're responsible, or say I'm responsible now, for putting it in a recycle bin. And so what I'm looking at is these companies who distribute, or the people who walk around giving these things out and throwing on your lawn or whatever. So they're littering my lawn. And if enough of it is on my lawn, if I don't pick it up, I don't recycle, I will get a fine. The sanitation department will fine me for having this, and will fine me for not, putting in the wrong garbage and not recycling it. And so the question is, why can't they, how can you combat this? Now, recently what happened is that a law got passed about unauthorized distribution of unsolicited advertisement. And it says that in order to go with this with the sanitation department, you have to, it says, and I'll read this, you have to conspicuously post or cause to be posted a sign which is not less than 5 inches by 7 inches in size and which states in legible letters at least 1 inch in size, the words, do not place unsolicited advertising materials on this property. I have 2 signs in my window, very clear. And yet, these people continue to do this. Now, it's not they're just not looking. I mean, this is not, they're not looking to see if people are posting the signs. Now, my next-door neighbor also has signs in their window. So why is it now, we've got my house, my next-door neighbor's house, and still there's a whole bunch of stuff like this that's on the lawn. I'm trying to get sanitation to come over and look at this and give these companies a fine. Now, it's mostly the distribution companies, because that's what they'll do is they'll take a whole bunch of flyers, put it in a plastic bag, and drop it off. Okay, so now I'm on the phone with the sanitation department and what they want me to do for each of the violators. And it says, like, here's the form. And it says, first you have to write down on what date and what time I personally observed on my property unsolicited advertising material. So, like, I'm looking out the window every day. I have nothing else to do but police my lawn. And there were times I just, I just don't go out of the house. I'm very, very busy, and I just don't go out of the house, so it can be piling up. And so I really don't know. So that's one absurdity. But then it says, I have attached the original unsolicited advertisement material to this complaint form in its entirety and in its original form, including any materials that were packaged together. And I'm supposed to take this now with the form and send it to the enforcement. Who pays for the postage? I mean, these things, it's not like these things weigh an ounce. So the postage is going to cost me a couple of dollars for each one of these packages to send back. So this being the case, and I'm just using, now this is just myself as an example. I mean, do you think that people are going to want to do this, or they're just going to take it and throw it out? And maybe they're taking a chance on the fact that no one's going to complain, and they'll just throw it out and then put it in the recycled garbage. I mean, can it get more absurd? Well, I'm going to be writing about this and following this up to find out if the companies are getting fined. I mean, again, the sanitation department will fine me, and I want to make sure that they fine the companies that are littering. So if anybody else has this kind of problem, be sure to email me. I'm curious as to getting some results. I have called my council person. I'm waiting for a call back. Yeah. Okay. Waiting for Godot. So, all right. So anyway, that's it. What am I doing next week on next week's show? I don't remember what I have for next week's show. I may have some interesting interviews because it's the new season again on Broadway is coming up, and a lot of the shows that I see are opening opening next month. And so hopefully I'll get to see some or all of them. The first one I'm looking at is a play called The Story of My Life. So soon as I figure out what I'm doing, I'll post it up. So I'm going to leave you guys, and we'll chat next week on Whirl with Merle. Where is my cat? Where is my cat? Ah, all right. I see Mallory. She's just waiting. No. Mallory, don't hit that thing. Don't hit that thing.
Are you ready for some football?
Mallory, we finished that segment already. That's over with. So, all right. I'm leaving you. And we are. So, talk to everybody next week. Say hello to everybody. Say goodbye to everybody. I know you're the host of the show. I understand.